Okay, our main topic, or what I thought would be our main topic today, was the concept of honoring our parents. And I will talk about that. I may talk about it a little more this afternoon than I am this morning.
John, you have the mic on?
I don't know.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't. But I wanted to share with you a little feedback from my session yesterday afternoon. Several of you have asked me. And I asked the young people yesterday afternoon essentially the question, what are some of the key elements in being a good parent? Thinking that through that question I would get some idea of what they may have observed in their own homes that they thought were good. And at the same time, have them teach themselves about things they ought to do. And I ended up, I quit writing after about the first 15 or 20. But I thought I might just read these to you. Then I went back and asked them, which one of these do you think your parents have done the best or the worst at? And I kind of tried to grade them, and I'll share just a little bit of that with you. And these aren't ranking. These are just in the order of who I called on to give me. First of all, they felt, in terms of parenting, discipline was important. Consistency was important. Now, I solicited these before I said anything. Teaching morals was important. Understanding our children, loving our children, being willing to sacrifice and compromise, giving our children responsibilities, believing in and trusting our children, spending time with our children, being able to financially afford our children, stay married for the sake of the children, listen to our children but don't try to solve all their problems, give our children the right amount of freedom, encourage our children, control our anger toward them, always remember that your children are modeling after you. Remember that you are their parent first and not their best friend. And know when to stay away. That was the list I got from them. Then I went back and said, okay, of those, and I read this list back to them, and I said, which ones of these do you think your parents have done the best at? And I'm not going to give you the ranking for all of these, but the top three or four that they thought their parents did the best at were, number one, discipline. They thought their homes had good discipline. They thought that a good job had been done in teaching them morals. They thought that a good job had been done in showing love toward them. They thought a good job had been done in terms of their parents staying married. And this one surprised me. They thought a fairly good job was done in terms of being parents first and not trying to be the best friend of their children. Now, on the other end of the scale, we got lowest marks in the following areas. Understanding our children. And so I probed that a little bit. I said, okay, give us some help as to how to better understand you. And they said the following: take time and also be sensitive to the time of the day you're trying to do it. They don't like, take this for what it's worth, they don't like to be bombarded as soon as they come in from school with how did your day go. They need 30 or 45 minutes to figure it out themselves, and then maybe they'll talk to you about it. One expressed some of the best visits they have had with their parents have been very late at night. We're talking 11, 12, 1 o'clock. Maybe when the parent's not the freshest, but the child is all psyched up and ready to go. Another area that they didn't give very good marks in was knowing when to stay away. Giving them space at the appropriate time, but they didn't have a whole lot of help in telling us to know how to do that. That was just a feeling they had. Didn't give us very good marks on listening, but not trying to solve their problems. And that led to a discussion. The rest of them kind of fell in the middle. And I honestly don't remember which children voted which way. And if I did, I promised them I would forget. So I've kept my promise. But just to give you a little flavor of what they were thinking. The general tenor of it is they appreciate the work you're doing. They agree with most of it, not all of it. But probably are going to end up parenting essentially like they've been parented. And I think that probably reflects the kind of children and the kind of couples that we have here. Anybody want to make a comment on that? I just share that under trivia. But sometimes it's nice to know what some of these children are thinking. And let me assure you, they are thinking. And that's probably one of the most rewarding things of the time I've spent with them. They're thinking, and they're thinking well. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of comparing of parental techniques that's been used on them this week. Sure. Absolutely. We didn't do a whole lot of that, but, well, I guess maybe we did do some of that, because they're telling us things about themselves even when they don't think they're telling us things about themselves, which is the same of us.
It would be interesting to hear their answers to the same questions after they've become parents.
And for those of you that are still on this earth when that happens, just go right ahead. Sure. They smiled at the Charlie shed when he, you know, the more kids he had, the less he knew. They understand that. They understand that intellectually. They can't understand it as emotionally as you and I maybe can, but they do understand that. Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about parenting, but I want to look at this in the terms of parenting as we get older. Parenting in terms of letting our children go. Parenting in terms of when you quit being a parent. Well, it's my belief that never happens. For some of us, we might like to think when they reach 18 or 21, our job's done and you quit being mom and you quit being dad. But that apparently isn't the way it works. And usually what happens is now, rather than worrying less, you sometimes worry more because now it extends to the grandchildren and not just to the children. It extends to sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. So it appears that this parenting thing is for a long, long haul. One man wrote, "Life has lots of possibilities and a few inevitabilities. And one of life's inevitabilities is that we're all growing older." And that does take a toll, and it causes the family to change. Now, one of the problems I believe that we have in parenting as we get older is that too often some of us may have tended to live through our children. And when you try to live your life as an extension through your child's life, then when they leave the nest, it makes that leaving extremely, extremely painful and traumatic. And I suspect all of us, to some extent, live our lives through our children. But I think it's dangerous when we do that excessively, to the point that we almost don't have lives ourselves. And I think that probably more than anything explains divorces after 20 and 30 and 35 years. The kids are gone, and in our society, that means they not only sometimes move out of the house, they move to distant states. And there is a real breaking, like it or not, of that relationship, and it makes it very, very difficult. A second thing that I think makes the empty nest or the leaving of children very difficult is that in far too many homes, the parent-child relationship supersedes the husband-wife relationship. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22 through 33, that we've touched on in several aspects this year, Paul gives one of his most eloquent dissertations on the family. That's where he says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. wives, submit yourselves to your husband, and so forth. Well, it's interesting to me, in those 12 verses, there's one thing that's never mentioned, and it's children. Now, why would Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, in what was a long, for him, a long dissertation on one single subject, marriage and the family, never mention children? I think the reason must be that the center, the hub of a family can't be the children. The center and the hub of a family has to be, or should be, the husband and wife. And what we need as we raise our families is not family-centered children, but is not children-centered families, but is family-centered children. I got that backwards. If the focus of our family is our children, we've probably got a pretty red flag waving in the air, because once those children depart, then what do you have? You have two people waking up and they no longer know each other. Rick was talking, or you were talking, about prayer and various aspects in her life, and it reminded me of a lady and her husband who had just experienced their 50th wedding anniversary. And they did not have an ideal marriage. They had I don't remember where I heard this first, but they had what's called a three-ring marriage. There was the engagement ring, the marriage ring, and then the suffer ring. Well, they'd gone through this for about 50 years. And it was just, in their home, it was just hell on earth. And they were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary and going through all of this kind of hypocrisy of show. And the woman came to her husband later and said, "You know, I've just been praying to God about our marriage. And I just don't see any way it's going to get any better. So I've prayed to God that He'll take one of us so that the other one can have a few years of happiness. And as soon as God answers my prayer, I'm going to go live with my sister in Arizona." Now, sometimes we don't really pray for an answer. We pray that God will execute our answer. Sometimes when we pray for God to give us guidance in the family, we're really praying, "God, I don't like the guidance You've already given me, so give me another answer and something I can more easily swallow." Now, I'm not, again, at all against praying for our families, but we need to keep that in mind. Let me also now, I'd like to, in my humble way, give you three or four things that I think will help us release our children. And really, that's our job. One of the most painful things for us as parents to come to understand is that our job is to work ourselves out of a job. And we've spent 20 years, give or take a couple, with these precious little missiles that God's given us, that releasing them is so, so hard for most parents. And as your children get older, you'll understand that. Now, some of this I touched on briefly yesterday, but I'd like to briefly reiterate it. When it comes time to release your children, number one, don't give them too much. Don't give them too much. Don't deprive them of the very thing that made you successful: a sense of responsibility and a sense of appreciation for earning everything you got. And that describes many of you here. And that's what's made many of you good, strong husbands, wives, and Christians. And yet, in our exuberance to cause our children's life to be better than ours, we deprive them of the very thing that will allow them to build a life that we want for them. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 27 says, "It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of his youth." It's good for us when youth and struggling. Now, I don't want to get overly personal, and I don't know how various families handle themselves, but for a young couple starting out today, I don't know how they start out. I really don't. when I look at housing costs out here, it looks to me like you might as well just buy a tent. Well, some of you have been very financially blessed and could ease that very much for your children. And I'm not going to tell you it's a sin to do that. I'm just cautioning us all to be very careful that we don't make the transition so easy for our children that we deprive them of the very struggles that made us grow and appreciate what we've got. Because they won't learn the lesson another way. Number two, when we release our children as young adults, we don't cut them off totally, but the relationship has to change. Releasing our children doesn't mean never giving them advice or never giving them encouragement, but I do believe it now takes the couching of giving it to them when they ask for it, especially once they get married. The hardest job in the world has to be a mother-in-law. I've never been one, I never will be, and I never want to be. But a woman who can be a wise mother-in-law is a wise woman indeed. That's one of our challenges. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22 says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Now, I'm going to go over that with the young people because that's part of honoring. Solomon also wrote in Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, "My son, hear the instruction of your father." But it has to be in a situation where they respect you to want to hear it, because they don't have to listen to it anymore. You remember Rehoboam? How history would have been changed had he listened to the wise counsel of those that are older. And number three, I don't believe that releasing of our children is a sudden event. I think it's a process. And that may want to be one of the Lord's great mercies. A wise woman told Donna and I several years ago that that's one of God's beauties. As we release our children, it happens gradually. So you as parents have time to adjust. Because I believe the releasing of our children is probably more of an adjustment for the parent than it is for the child, and it's a big adjustment for the child. David wrote in Psalms 144, verse 12, "Let your sons in their youth be as grown-up plants." Well, plants don't just suddenly grow up. It's a process. And so it is with our children. In that same verse, he says, "Your daughters are as corner pillars fashioned as a palace." But you know what happens? Just like that, they grow up and they leave. They grow up and they leave. A wise woman wrote these words when she was in the throes of raising her family. "Someday, when the kids are all grown, things are going to be a lot different around here. There'll be no bikes in the driveway. The cars will actually fit in the garage. And you'll be able to walk through our house without tripping over toys. Someday, the kitchen's actually going to be clean. There'll be ice cubes in the trays. There'll be something other than milk in the refrigerator. Someday I'm going to be able to get dressed leisurely. The telephone will actually be available, and we'll be able to see out of the car windows. Someday." Yes, someday things are going to be a lot different. And yet one by one they leave our nest, and the house becomes quiet. It becomes calm. Empty, filled with memories, and yet a little lonely. And we spend our time thinking of yesterday, not of someday. And we find ourselves thinking, maybe we can babysit the grandchildren and get a little noise and clutter back into this place. Because someday came, and yesterday looked so good. We just got them for such a short time to mold them and to fashion them. It's the beauty of God's plan. And yet it's the awesomeness of our responsibility, isn't it? You want to pray for wisdom, as Rick suggested. You do it as parents. You do it as grandparents. I'm going to pause. We're not going to have time to take all the comments and all the questions. But I've had a lot of fun these last 2 weeks. Because that's just the way I enjoy. But we've been talking about some deadly serious things. And I don't want us to forget that either. Any comments or questions on anything I've said so far? Adeline?
I was very fortunate in having a special mother. And we lived with her for 2.5 years. And my kids had a special relationship with her. And in fact, my daughter said she wasn't looking for a husband. She was looking for a mother-in-law.
Okay. I think my mom would say that slightly different. My mom wasn't looking for me to get married. She was looking for a daughter-in-law. My mom likes my wife better than she likes me. And that's quite understandable to most of you, I know. We joke about it, but it's dead serious. When we go to visit my parents, my mom would be a lot more disappointed if Donna didn't go than if I didn't. But that's a wonderful relationship when it can work out that way. And many of you have those wonderful relationships. But there are built-in tensions that it takes wisdom and prayer and godly people to understand and bridge.
When we heard that 2.5 years, it wasn't all we needed.
Sure.
It didn't change. Well, maybe I should say it strengthened the relationship.
Well, you're lucky, because I've seen people live with their in-laws for 2.5 years and it didn't strengthen the relationship. So you're all to be honored for that ability to do it. You're a stronger person than I. Most couples, that would be a tremendous strain, in my opinion. Anybody else want to make a comment? Marvin?
I think the most satisfying thing that a parent can receive is to have their children ask their advice.
Okay, I think that's awfully, awfully right. I think also one of the most satisfying things for a parent is when your children no longer have to live with you, they want to come home and see you. Not live with you, but come home and see you. It's that love of choice. And really, that's when we understand how love of choice affects us, then we understand why God gave us free will. Because love of choice is the most gratifying thing a person can have. It's the most gratifying thing a person can have. Okay, honoring our parents. Now this takes a little different slant with you than it will with the younger, just because we're all at different ages. And I probably ought to start looking what's up here. This was my comment about does it ever end? Okay. That other wasn't really on there, so I thought I was in pretty good shape. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 22. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am Lord. The hoary or the white or the aged head, according to God, is something that's to be honored. And I made this comment, I believe it was last week, that our society has gone a long way toward not honoring and respecting the elderly. And that's to our shame, number one, and it's to our loss, number two. We have a treasure in the church. And may God grant us the wisdom to tap that treasure. Because the church of all places is no place for us to discard the elderly when they've got so much to offer. And yet sometimes in homes and families, they feel useless. One of the great tragedies of going to a nursing home and visiting is no matter who you go to visit, you'll pass down that hall and you'll just see pair of eyes after pair of eyes just longing for someone to show them enough respect to stop and visit for a little bit. Why is it that the people who have lived the longest and experienced the most are sometimes the people that we counsel the least? I don't know, but I believe it happens. Honoring our parents is something that has been established through the beginning of the Bible. In the Decalogue, which is given to us in Exodus chapter 20, we are told simply to honor our fathers and our mothers so that you may live well or long in the land of the Lord, the land that God has given us. God knew long before we did how important this is. And I don't believe this commandment is given only to us while we are living under the roof of our parents. Although I do believe the manifestation of honoring them changes, the principle of honoring them doesn't. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the writer there picks up, obviously, on the principle described in the Decalogue when Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise." I want to point out that I believe there are two important considerations in that verse. Number one, there is honor, which is the proper attitude, and then there is obedience, which is the proper action. And those two are placed together. Honor is our attitude toward, obedience is our action toward. And God ties them inseparably together when he tells the children to do both, to honor and to obey. Now, all throughout God's word, parents are held in high regard. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, it says, "You are not to strike your parents." You ever see a child strike his parents? Now, I'm willing to cut a little slack to the infant who doesn't understand quite what's going on. But let me say, and maybe this is my opinion, that even in infancy, when a child strikes his parent, there should be some very swift instruction so that he understands that is not cute nor acceptable. And I'm not saying that because I'm terribly concerned that when he gets old, he's going to beat his parents up, but I do believe that's a manifestation of not the right attitude. Parents are not to be struck. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, parents are not to be cursed. And oh, do we see that in our society? Disrespectful talk. You probably remember what the law said in Deuteronomy chapter 21 to do with a rebellious son. A lot of us wouldn't be here, would we? A lot of us wouldn't be here. Juvenile delinquency, gangs wouldn't be a problem. And in societies that severely punish child disobedience, it doesn't happen. A good friend of mine, a man that I worked with for 15 years, when we departed in the workplace, he went to Singapore, took his family. Singapore, large metropolitan area. He had teenage daughters. He told me later when I visited with him after he had lived there for a year, he said, "I wouldn't hesitate to let either one of my daughters walk anywhere in Singapore at any hour of the night, and I would never worry about them." And these were attractive girls. And he said the difference is of the discipline that they put. He said, people are put in jail for spitting gum on the sidewalk. I'm not saying we should be like that. I'm just saying discipline works. That was where a few years ago, and I don't remember the young man, we had such a hubbub over here because they wanted to whip a kid for, what did he do, scratch a car or did something that we wouldn't even, graffiti? We wouldn't even, it wouldn't even be on our Richter scale. The Lord establishes concepts of honoring and discipline, and he did it for a reason. Now this has to be tempered. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, when it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, and that's repeated in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. We are not to discourage our children. I believe our children love us because they're our children. I believe they respect us because of how we interact with them. And that's why a lot of parents are loved and not respected, because respect is earned. And some of us haven't earned it. And if you don't earn the respect of your children, chances are they're not going to honor you. I don't know what that is. Oh, okay. That's the comments that I had on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Okay. Jesus held honoring of his parents in very, very high regard. You remember when he was hanging on the cross? What was on his mind? That his mother would be taken care of. A wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Now I want to spend just a little bit of time now on what I call, and I don't know that it's called this, but I call it the PC principle. And that's not personal computer. And some of you have seen me diagram this before, but with your tolerance, I'd like to do it one more time. Well, probably not one more time. I'd like to do it again. I think that little diagram speaks volumes for us. P stands for the parent, and C stands for the child. And when you and I come into this world, or when our children came into this world, the parent was on top and the child was on the bottom. The child was totally dependent upon you as his parents. There is probably no animal in God's creation more helpless than a little child. And you can say what you want about a newborn baby. You can tell me how cute and how pretty they are. They're just a little bitty wrinkled ball of yuck. And it takes 4, 5, 6 months, in my opinion, for them to become presentable. Now, I'm not saying don't bring them, but that's just, you know, a lot of animals get up and they just take right off running. Children aren't like that. They're totally dependent. They'll die. But you know what happens almost from day one? That pendulum starts to move, doesn't it? Then maybe about here, it's teenagers. And then you get to a point where some of you are at, where you and your parents are emotionally and intellectually, you're kind of peers. You talk as a man to a man and a woman to a woman. But you know the pendulum doesn't stop, does it? It just keeps swinging. And if your parents live long enough, they're going to become increasingly dependent upon you. I think it was Hamlet in one of the in Shakespeare's play who said, "We're all children twice and adults once." And if we live long enough, that's true. We're going to be dependent twice, but only independent once. And you literally begin to see in our age bracket a role reversal. Now, one of the great challenges that some of you face is you're on both ends of the thing. You've got little children who are still dependent upon you, and you've got elderly parents that are increasingly dependent upon you. So you may find yourself in a dual formula. But that's okay. I believe as we move later into the stages of life, our roles change. I believe we're to always honor our parents, but the concept of direct obedience does change because we become our own. We become one flesh. We have to leave our mothers and fathers, as marriage institution advised us in Genesis chapter 2. But the concept of honoring our parents doesn't go away. It now becomes an issue of how do we do this? And let me give you four humble hints on how to do this. I believe as Christian men and women, we have the responsibility, as long as our parents are alive, to care for them or see that they're cared for. Now, our society is different today. We have Social Security. We have pension plans. We have nursing homes. In the day of the Bible, none of those things existed. An old man or an old woman who couldn't anymore work and provide for themselves was literally totally dependent upon the family. But I believe the principle holds true that we as Christian men and women have the responsibility for caring for our parents until the day they die. Now, does that mean we have to have them in our home? Maybe not. Maybe a nursing home is the best option when they are no longer able to care for themselves. Maybe they would prefer that, where they have some sense of interaction and fellowship with peers. But yet, having said that, I think as Christians we need to be very careful that if we put our parents in a nursing home, it's because it's best for them, not because it's best for us. Because that, to me, is simply a shirking of our responsibility. I hope that I never have to live with somebody else as I get old. I'd just like to keel over in the saddle, be independent, or be able to take care of myself one day and gone the next. But I don't have that choice, and neither do you, and neither do our parents. But I believe we're to care for them. Jesus indicated that when in John 19:27 he tells John to take care of his mother. He preached it in Matthew chapter 15, verses 4, 5, and 6. We see it done in the ancient kings time and time again. But let me move on. I think another element of honoring our parents is simply not providing and caring for them. It's listening to them and learning from them, no matter how old they are, as long as they have their right minds. And don't get too quick to feel they don't have their right minds, because they have treasures. Their memory begins to fade, but so does mine. But I can't tell you how many older people, older than me, have come up with so many antidotes and illustrations of points I've made these 2 weeks that I wish I had time to share them all with you, but I don't. Number three, probably the absolute best way for a Christian to honor his parents, if his parents are Christian, is for you to be a Christian. There is nothing I can say to my mom and dad that would honor them more than my being a Christian. And by being a Christian, I don't have to say a lot of the things that can go without saying. And if I depart from the Lord, no matter what I say, and no matter how much money I give them, and no matter how gracious I am to them, I have dishonored them in a way that they'll never recover from. Now, that's not the reason for me being a Christian or you being a Christian, but what greater honor to Christian parents than to see their children as Christians? And I also put up here, treat them with dignity and respect. You're going to love them. I'm not worried about that. I'm talking about treating them with dignity and treating them with respect. That great theologian, Irma Bombeck, once wrote in one of her serious moments, I quote, "I was struck as I looked back at how many times how much my parents truly did for me. The times which I thought were work, were really training. The setting of the table, the making of a living, the learning to shop, and the learning to discipline were all part of the training, and I didn't even know it at the time. End quote. There's something about old people that's a little sad, and it's not that they're old. What's sad is sometimes they have to die before we understand how much they meant to us. And if you still have your parents alive, and I have that privilege, my comment to you is don't let another day go by without telling them how much you appreciate what they've done for you. Because the day is coming when you won't be able to tell them that. And I can't tell you how many funerals I've officiated where someone in the family or a friend has come up and said, I meant to tell them this. One more thing I want to share with you, and then if you're inclined, we'll open it up for comments. If you're not, I can accept you've had enough. This is a writing entitled, When Did I Become the Mother? And When Did Mom Become the Child? The transition comes so slowly, the changing of power, the shift of responsibility, the passing down of duty. When did it all start? Was it the first year you celebrated Thanksgiving at your house and you find yourself roasting the turkey and your mother setting the table? Or the first time you rush to grab her arm as she walks over a patch of ice? Or the first time you say, sit still if you want me to help? Or the first time you look over the checkbook that they can't get to balance? Or the first time you throw your arm out to protect them from the windshield? As your own children are growing stronger and independent, your own parents are becoming more childlike and more dependent. It wasn't supposed to be this way. Oh, it's here, and we're a little sad. You now bathe and dry the body that once cared for you. You now feed the lips which once kissed your cuts and bruises and made them all well. You comb the hair that used to playfully cascade over you and make you laugh. You balance the checkbook that allowed you to have a very happy childhood. You arrange the covers over the one that used to tuck you in. The naps are now as frequent as yours used to be. They need the babysitter. They need the daily supervision. And then, one day, while riding with your teenage daughter, she slams on the brakes and throws out her arm to keep you from hitting the windshield. And all you can think is, Lord, so soon? That's the cycle. And that thing just spins like a flywheel because it goes so fast, doesn't it? We could talk a long time about honoring our parents, but I think we just need to be reminded. But always remember that your children are learning how to honor parents by watching how you honor yours. And before you know it, you're going to be the child, and they'll be the parent. Thank you, Leah, because I'm not sure I can say too much more.
I have a question in reference to honoring our parents. I know it's our responsibility as they get older. Do we need to take into consideration their personality? We had Johnny living with us for about 10 months, and it was a joy. It was wonderful. And I think it was a benefit to our children. And yes, there was a lot of work, and we never regretted doing that. But there are other members, mostly on my side of the family, that I think, you know, my dad drinks.
Sure.
There's language involved that would not be the best situation for my children to be under.
Absolutely.
Because they're not, there isn't that Christian responsibility on their part.
Absolutely.
And then I wouldn't want to not fulfill my role in honoring them.
Absolutely, and I hope you could all hear her. I didn't run back with the mic, but I could hear her, so I hope you could. Absolutely, yes. I think honoring our parents is a very top priority, but if I had to choose between serving my parent in a certain way and serving my children in a certain way, I would put my children first every time. And that happens. Now, even though your father, you used this example, you might not want to bring him into your home, I think that list of responsibilities still exists, but you would want to look for alternative ways. There are some of you may have parents that you wouldn't even feel comfortable leaving your children with. If you do, my recommendation is make sure you're right, but if you're right, don't leave your children with them for whatever reason, picking up bad habits. There are other ways to honor. Remember I said parents need not only to be loved, they need respect. And some parents haven't earned that respect. But we can still honor them, but yes, I think that ought to be factored in, absolutely. I think it would be negligent of us as parents not to do that. Hopefully that's rare, but it's not. And I commend you for taking, I guess that'd be Dave's grandfather, into your home. And that will probably be a memory that your children will cherish. But that's no small undertaking. No small undertaking. Anybody else care to make a comment or have a... Brother Grantham.
My wife's parents were old enough to be her grandparents, so the children that were 15 and 25 years older than my wife, they didn't seem inclined to want to take care of their aged mother, so it fell on us. And when our children were small and having her to take care of also, it was quite a challenge.
Absolutely. And anybody that undertakes that with the proper spirit is to be commended. But I want to emphasize, I don't think we should necessarily feel guilty when we put loved ones in a nursing home, if that's what's best for them. My problem with that is when we do it because we're too selfish. To expend the time to take care of them when that might be better. I think, and I don't know, but as long as I have my right mind, I think I'd rather be in some place of semi-independence rather than in one of my children's homes. But I may change my mind. I may not have a choice, but I may change my mind. But that's a real traumatic thing for an older person to give up that independence. My grandfather, he's been gone a long time. He drove his car longer than he should have. I mean, he was a danger, and the family they tried to get him to get rid of that car, and he wouldn't. And his time came time for him to renew his driver's license. They tried to talk him out of that. He wouldn't. He went to the county seat. He took the driver's test. He passed it. He came home that day, parked the car, and never drove it again. He just didn't want somebody telling him not to. And that's dignity and respect. You know, we're supposed to know the bents of our children. Sometimes we have to know the bents of our parents and our grandparents because they become a little childlike. And we're all becoming childlike. I mean, you don't have to be 70 to be a child. Alta. Well, I want them to hear you.
I'm just going to say, and the rest of us should look at it right when that would. If we want to be in an old folks home, the rest of the Christians shouldn't criticize our kids, because that's what I hope to do.
Yeah, no. Well, knowing you, they won't get away with it. Yeah. Well, if you're lucky, Rick won't be in the same one. If we're all lucky, Rick won't be in the same one. Gaylene?
Do her children have a right to criticize her for making that decision when they want to help?
Okay, do her children have the right to criticize her if they want to help? I think probably...
No, when they want to help. There's no if.
Okay, ask me it again.
Maybe criticize it. Do her children have the right to voice opposition to that when they want to help?
Okay, she wants to go to an old folks home. You don't want her to. Okay, do the children have the right... Okay, you don't want her to. Well, I imagine Sandra would be pretty compassionate. Do the children have a right? Yes, I think they do have a right, but opinion? Number one, if you're going to have a criticism of that, that ought to be a private family discussion, number one. And number two, as long as she has her right mind, I give her the final say.
Well, after the day, I don't think I know it.
And you might want to kind of look at some possible places during the lunch hour also. There are some nice ones around here. Okay. I
just wanted to say that when we have a family in our body that has someone living with them, this is a wonderful opportunity to serve and an obligation for us to get in there and bear that burden with them.
Absolutely, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but Gaylene's father lived with them for several years in their basement, and I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but it looked like it worked pretty well in that he had his space, but he was there. But that'll test a marriage, I would think. Haven't done it yet, but it will test a marriage. But it can strengthen that marriage too. Glenn.
You're familiar with Kansas City. I've been to one good nursing home, but the other five were horrible. I would rank that in the top five worst ways to die is in a nursing home. So that would inspire me to take care of my parents if they gave me that option.
Okay. Well, yeah, sure. There are good nursing homes and bad. I've been in more than one good one in Kansas City, but and it doesn't take long to know when they're the ones that are good. All you have to do is breathe.
I've been real lucky, I suppose. My girls want me to stay in a home by myself. I am.
Yeah.
But they help any way they can. Now I'm getting old enough, so the oldest says, Mom, do you want to come and live with me? I said, oh, no, I sure don't.
Well, maybe someday when you get old, you will. but seriously, that I don't know this situation near like many of you, but it just... I know enough about it to know it just has some ideal situations in it. There's that independence, and yet the family can have peace of mind knowing that it's that they're honoring you. They're honoring you.
I've been through this two or three times, and I think I can say through experience that keeping a sense of humor is very important, and it's also very difficult. But it also makes it easier if you're the old one. If you keep a sense of humor, it makes it easier on your kids.
I'm glad to hear that. My boys are in good shape if a sense of humor will help. Okay, I have, Adelaide.
Are you a grandfather yet?
No.
Oh, well, that explains why you said those little bit of nothing.
That may not be the entire explanation. But I'm not going to get into an argument. I just like it when they can start smiling back and responding. And enough said. Okay, I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with you. We've had to gloss over some things because you just can't cover everything. But we've thoroughly enjoyed it.